The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's something you often hear at the beginning of sermons. But grace, what is grace? What are we talking about when we use these words, grace, mercy, and peace? Well, the grace is God's undeserved kindness towards sinners. We do not merit anything good from God because all have sinned, Scripture says, and fall short of God's glory. We deserve God's judgment. We deserve His wrath. We deserve His condemnation. Eternal condemnation, eternal separation from Him, eternal torment. That is what we deserve. But look what God does in His grace. He has mercy upon us poor sinners. He sees our plight. He sees our condition, and He does something about it. He sends His Son into the flesh to bear our sins on the cross, to take upon Himself in His own holy flesh and blood our sins, and to be offered up as a sacrifice to propitiate God's wrath toward sinners and to reconcile us, poor, miserable sinners, to God. So in His grace and out of His mercy, we now have peace with God, Scripture says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ has established peace for us with God. He has taken on Himself the sins of the whole world, each and every one of them, that separated the whole world from God. And He suffered God's judgment. He offered Himself as a sacrifice for that sin, and thus the holy and just and righteous God is satisfied with Christ's holy life, His death, His resurrection. God has no charge to lay against us because the charge of your guilt and your sin, the penalty of eternal death, and my sin, my guilt, and my death, Jesus carried it all. And so now, through faith in Christ, we are free. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and in Him alone is this true. Psalm 46, which provides the basis for tonight's sermon, speaks to the people of God. It speaks to you and to me, those who have been made God's people through our baptism into Christ's death, those who continue as His people through His grace and mercy alone, as we hear the word of truth, the word of the gospel that makes poor dead sinners alive in Christ and keeps them alive through the grace bestowed on us in baptism and through the holy supper of Jesus' body and blood. We have peace with God. We are His people, and He does not forsake His people. Psalm 46 speaks confidently of this. It speaks of God as our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. God is not distant from us. God is not aloof from us. God does not look the other way when sin, death, and hell beset us. Instead, God gets involved. He gets down into the muck and the dirt and the filth and the blood and the guts of our life in His Son, Jesus Christ. And in Christ Jesus, God is a very present help for us in trouble. Listen to what the psalm says twice. The Lord of hosts, The Lord of heavenly armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And once again, at the end of the psalm, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God with us. That is who Jesus is. That's what the prophecy from Isaiah 7 says. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel, which, as Matthew explains in his gospel, means God with us. You see, God is not with us in some vaporous, spiritual way. Vapor and spiritual stuff does not do us any good at all, because even though our lives are vapor, Scripture says, we have this stuff called skin and muscle and bone and tissue. We live real physical lives in a physical world. So God does not wave some sort of magic wand to rescue us. No, God comes into our presence in the person of His Son. You know what it's like to be a human being. You can relate to other human beings. If you've had hip replacement surgery, you can relate to someone who has had hip replacement surgery. If you have had cancer and recovered from it, you can relate to someone who is struggling with cancer. If you have had a heart attack, you can relate to someone who has had a heart attack. If you have had a spouse or child die, you can relate to someone who has had a spouse or child die. And God relates Himself to us in our humanity by His Son, Jesus Christ. He was true man and is true man. He is the eternal second person of the Trinity, become man so He can cozy up to us, so He can get beneath our skin, so His heart can beat with our heartbeat, so the breath He draws can be the breath that we draw, so that He can be our refuge and our strength, our very present help in time of need, and our fortress. A refuge is a place of security. It is a place of shelter. And Psalm 46 speaks of all kinds of chaos, all kinds of trouble happening in the world. We will not fear, God's people confess, even though the earth gives way, even though it crumbles beneath our feet, because God is the Creator who is mightier than His creation. Though the mountains be toppled into the heart of the sea, we will not fear. Though the sea's waters roar and foam and great tsunamis arise up, though the mountains tremble at the sea's swelling, we will not fear. And don't deceive yourselves. The universe of God's creation is going to fall apart someday because we live in a fallen creation. As our opening hymn said, all mankind fell in Adam's fall. One common sin infects us all. We share Adam's sin. We share in Adam's guilt. And as a result, it's not merely you and me who would face judgment. It's the whole creation which is going to come under God's condemnation someday. God has subjected all of creation to futility, to vanity, on account of the sin of Adam. So this world is not our home. The familiar things that we know and take for granted and are part of our everyday lives will one day perish. This creation is not permanent. So what do we do in the face of the impermanence of creation? What do we do when our life falls apart? What do we do when the devil rises up against us and accuses us of our sins? When God's law points its finger at us and says, "You are the sinner." Where do we go? Do we work all the harder trying to earn points with God? Do we work all the harder trying to be good, trying to be loving to people, trying to be holy, trying to be without sin, so we can work our way into God's favor? That does not work. That boat will not float. That kite will not fly. Because one little sin separates us from God. One little sin brings upon us God's wrath. So where is our refuge? It is in the Lord God, whose Son became man. In Christ, who suffered and died and was raised again for us, we have a refuge, we have a place of security, we have a shelter against God's wrath, against the falling apart of the universe, the falling apart of our lives. And do you know why? It's because this Christ, who died on the cross for the sins of the world, has been raised again. The body that was so abused, so tortured, the body that died, was buried, was raised up again on the third day. And that is the sign. That is the guarantee. That is the beginning of a new creation of God in which we participate by God's grace, mercy, and kindness. When your sins accuse you, find refuge in Jesus Christ. When your sins accuse you and you are overwhelmed by guilt, flee to Christ, not merely in your minds, but as He is present for you. Now, you can't see Jesus looking around, but you can hear His word of peace and salvation proclaimed to you. You can see the baptismal font, which is a reminder that you were baptized into Jesus, into His death and resurrection. You can hear the words of absolution that as a pastor I spoke. And you know what else you can do? You can come to the altar, because this altar is a place of refuge, a place of mercy, a place of peace. For there the Jesus who bore the sins of the whole world, who suffered and died, there the Jesus who was raised again on the third day, gives to you to eat and to drink, to feast upon His very body and blood, for the forgiveness of your sins. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It's in His word of peace and grace and mercy to sinners. It's also there in the sacrament. There, in a real tangible way, you have the forgiveness of sins. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Christ is our strength. When we were weak, Christ died for us. When we were separated from God, when we were enemies of God, Christ Himself made peace with us. And so we don't look to ourselves, because we were dead in trespass and sins. We were so weakened by our sinful nature, by Adam's fall into sin, that we can do nothing good. For as Scripture says, there is no one who is good, no one who is righteous, not even one, except Jesus, the God-man, the one who obeyed all the commandments of God for you in your place, who never once slipped up, who never once sinned. And the perfection, the abundance of his holy life is credited to you in your baptism. You are clothed with Christ himself. God looks at you and does not see your sin. He sees the righteous perfection of Jesus, and he declares you to be righteous and holy for the sake of his Son. He is your refuge. He is your strength to live this new life of faith. Each of us stumble. Each of us falls. Each of us sometimes falls flat on our faces. And yet, through his gospel, Jesus picks us up. He cleans away the muck and the mire of our sin. He washes us anew in his grace and mercy, just as he washed us in our baptism. And through the word of peace, through the sacrament of the altar, we receive strength to live as his holy, redeemed people. God is our fortress. He is our secure and safe place. God is our defense. He is the fortress of this congregation. We ourselves are not the fortress. How could we, poor, miserable sinners, possibly be a fortress to protect others from sin, death, and the devil? But because Christ is with us, because the triune God is with us in the gospel, in the word, in the sacraments, he himself becomes our defense. And even though the earth and the heavens dissolve someday, even though your body will perish one day, even though the devil rise up against you and say, "Ha, you are a sinner, you are mine," on account of Jesus, God the Father says, "No, this one is mine. This one is redeemed by the blood of my Son. This one, though he die, though she die, will live again." Not in some spiritual kind of sense, certainly not in some reincarnational sense, but in a resurrection kind of sense. For the bodies, our bodies that have been washed and united to Christ in our baptism will be raised up anew someday. Think of that, you who have had loved ones die recently. The body that was placed in the earth, the body that is no more, will be raised up. And judgment has nothing to say to you because Christ bore that judgment. So remember this, dear friends, God is your refuge and strength. God is your very present help in trouble. The Lord of hosts is with you for the sake of Jesus. The God of Jacob is your fortress. Hear that. Rejoice, rest secure in that, and be glad. And that's what Reformation Day is all about. The saving peace of God, the mercy of God, the grace that covers the sin of the world, not our works, but God's works on our behalf in Christ Jesus, his Son, our Lord. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.